There is a line in the Einarlindale, the creation myth in the Silmarillion, about the duality of the Ainur when they created the world, describing their majestic vastness, but also their terrible sharpness. In other words, their ability to perceive not only the big picture, but to dive into the details. As I've spent the last 5 years studying the Tolkien fanfiction fandom, when I think of this line, when I think of this task, this line comes to mind. It is at once vast, one of the oldest fanfiction fandoms and one of the largest, but that terrible sharpness, that need to drill down into the highly specific, is there as well. Just as the narrator of the Silmarillion cautions his audience about Arda, one cannot speak of a monolithic Tolkien fanfiction fandom and receive the whole picture. Instead, at various places and times, there are subcultures that differ profoundly from one another, and the picture of Tolkien fanfiction fandom is incomplete without them. Today, I am going to look more at the vastness of what I've learned of the Tolkien fanfiction fandom across the past 5 years. Even though I just cautioned against viewing it as monolithic, I will often refer to trends as a whole that I see as the Tolkien fanfiction fandom, or the Tolkien fic fandom, in the interest of brevity and simplicity. These trends are based on data from the Tolkien fanfiction survey, and they don't and can't represent the entirety of the Tolkien fanfiction fandom. First run in 2015, this survey captured data on the attitudes, values, and practices as self-reported by writers and readers of Tolkien-based fanfiction. In 2020, in collaboration with our own Maria Alberto, we ran the survey again. I've had my hands on the data for just about 2 months now, so it is still not fully analyzed, not even close, and this conference is, in fact, the first time I've presented it. But I hope to provide a snapshot of what the fandom looks like at this moment in its history, as well as how it has changed or not in the last 5 years, and some preliminary conclusions that if my first presentation of the 2015 data is anything to go by, I will then spend the next 5 years merrily debunking myself. To begin with, who writes and reads Tolkien-based fanfiction? For the 2020 iteration of the survey, Maria and I decided to expand out the demographic items considerably. Therefore, for many of them, there is no 2015 data with which to compare. In the interest of time, I will show much more data in the presentation than I have the opportunity to discuss. In both 2015 and 2020, we asked participants about their gender identity. Fan fiction is almost universally discussed as a woman's genre, and the received wisdom is that 90% of fan fiction is written by women, a number that has been confirmed by several surveys. The earliest citation of this data point I have found was in a 1980s Star Trek fanzine. It was confirmed in 2013 by Centrum Lumina's AO3 census, and again in 2015 with my own survey. As you can see, in 2020, the data has begun to change. Just 73% of participants identified as women, and the number of participants identifying as non-binary and as men both grew. Perhaps these data reflect growing openness about non-binary identities. Perhaps as the Tolkien fandom becomes more open to discussing issues of inclusivity, more diverse fans feel welcome. Perhaps it is a mix of both, or maybe it's other factors. Regardless, the simplified and always problematic notion of fan fiction as women's writing is no longer so simple. We also collected data on participant age in 2015 and 2020. You can see that the fandom has gotten older since 2015. While the younger demographics remain more heavily represented, the extreme interest in the fandom from older teens and young 20-somethings has flattened quite a bit in 2020. Relatively speaking, there is also more participation now from older fans as well compared to 2015. In fact, over 40% of the fandom is over 30 in 2020, compared to just under a third in 2015. And compared to the AO3 census, we were already an old fandom compared to the more generalized results, even in 2015. So I guess we're straight up elderly now. I don't know. But I suspected the high representation among young fans in 2015 is probably a product of the fact that the 2015 survey was released as the Hobbit film trilogy was just wrapping up, and the 2015 results show a high level of interest, I suspect, in the fandom among young people due to the films. We introduced three new demographic data sets in the 2020 survey that I'll be showing today: race and ethnicity, education, and religion. Race and ethnicity was presented as a free response field in recognition of the international nature of the Tolkien fanfiction community. As Maria and I discussed adding this item, including discussing it with fans who didn't live in Western nations, we came to the realization that terminology used to discuss race, primarily in the U.S., wasn't always accurate or relevant to fans outside of the U.S. Furthermore, Western-centric racial and ethnic distinctions didn't always encompass identities from non-Western nations that were part of those fans' identities and that informed their experience of fandom. We settled on allowing participants to describe their identity however they chose. As a result, percentages should not be interpreted as either or. For example, that 71% of fans identified as white does not mean that the other 29% identified as Black, Indigenous, or persons of color. Simply that 71% of fans included white somewhere in their response without combining it with another racial identity. The word cloud shows the diversity of descriptions participants used for this item. It also shows that, predominantly, the fandom identifies as white and Western. As the Tolkien fandom grapples with racism, both within the legendarium and within the fandom, I feel like these data speak to the imperative to address both, as non-white fans are severely underrepresented in the fandom, and it is worth asking why and what we can do to correct that. Data for education likely reflect that the younger demographics are heavily represented, including young adults who have not completed their university degree. Parsing this data alongside the age data will, I hope, provide a clearer picture of what these numbers mean. The data do show that the trades are not highly represented in fandom, and when participants pursued education beyond high school, it was almost unequivocally at a college or a university. In terms of religion, almost half of participants identified as atheists and agnostics, which honestly surprised me quite a bit. Almost a third of participants identified as Christians. Most of the major world religions were represented among the data. However, as with the data on race and ethnicity, most participants identify as part of these three groups that I discussed. These data give a picture of, if not the entire Tolkien fanfiction fandom, the participants who responded to the survey. It paints a picture of a fandom that, while becoming more diverse, at least in terms of age and gender, still has low representation among specific demographics, namely Black, Indigenous, and persons of color, and working class fans. In understanding how fans construct stories about Tolkien's legendarium, sources and the canon derived from those sources stand in the foreground. To say that Tolkien's canon is complicated is a serious understatement. There are two books published in his lifetime, undergirded by well over a dozen texts at this point, assembled posthumously, containing a mixture of coherent narratives compiled and edited by Christopher Tolkien, the Silmarillion being the best example here, and drafts, notes, and snippets also compiled by Christopher, and in various stages of completion, and sometimes highly contradictory. Added to the complexity of the written text, there are multiple media adaptations as well, most notably a pair of blockbuster film trilogies. How fanfiction writers navigate and utilize this myriad of texts is a central question in studying Tolkien fanfiction. The data on the slide show the percentage of authors who use various texts as part of their fanfiction. I want to begin with two big conclusions about the data so far before getting a little more specific about it, with a friendly reminder that the data is still very new, and I expect that as my understanding of it grows and expands, some of these conclusions will probably change. First, as I did my preliminary analysis of the data, what struck me most was how little had changed between 2015 and 2020. The source data is an example of this. With the exception of the Hobbit films being used by 14% fewer fans in 2020 than in 2015, authors' use of specific sources in their fan fiction remains remarkably unchanged across the years. In yesterday's reader reception roundtable, I presented two data sets about critical and inferential motives for reading and writing fan fiction that I also described at the time as remarkably unchanged. And this is true of other data sets throughout the survey as well. This harkens back to my opening quote from the Einolindelei. In these remarkably unchanged sets of data, I wonder if we aren't getting a suggestion of the vastness of a long-running and stable fandom culture. After all, the Tolkien fandom has been around for more than six decades, and fan fiction writing has occurred in some form or another across most of those six decades. Furthermore, fans tend to stick around long enough to carry an existing fandom culture forward to subsequent generations. A fandom friend of mine once described what she termed flash fire fandoms, those that experience a brief period of intense activity before abruptly fading. Tolkien fanfiction is not a flash fire fandom to many of its participants. In 2020, authors had been writing for a median of 5 years, up from 4 years in 2015. Furthermore, about a third of authors had been writing for 10 years or more, long enough to remember the fandom before the Hobbit trilogy and carry attributes of that culture forward. Next, and returning to the specific source data on the screen, there is the matter of the books, the films, and which are being used to inspire fanfiction. In the 2015 survey, I fully expected to find a significant contingent of participants writing fanfiction based only on the films. When the survey opened, the final Hobbit film was still in theaters, and fanish excitement around the films remained high. What I found was some of the most surprising data to come out of the 2015 results. Only 0.5% of participants used only the films to write their fanfiction. These numbers hold true moving forward into 2020, where still less than 1% of participants responded that they used only the films as a source, and none used only the Hobbit films. This leads me to uphold my 2015 conclusion that the Tolkien fanfiction fandom is primarily a book or literary fandom. While the films have an indisputable influence, which I'll discuss more in a second, even among fans brought to the fandom by the films, once they reach the point where they want to write fanfiction, almost universally they turn to one or more of the books. So how do the films influence the fandom? On the screen are data showing the number of survey participants who entered the fandom in any given year for both 2015 and 2020. I've highlighted the years where there was a film release. Both data sets show a jump in fandom participation around film releases. Even 20 years later, the impact of the Lord of the Rings films can be seen on people writing in the fandom today. I interpret these data as showing that the films tend to bring new fans into the fan fiction community, which is not itself surprising. Again, as noted above, what's surprising is that nearly all of those newcomers, when they begin writing fan fiction, open one or more of the books. I've also highlighted 2 years, 2006 and 2016, on the 2020 set and labeled them with a shrug because I'm not sure what is going on here. About 2 years after the final film release for both trilogies, there is a jump in fan fiction writing. This can be seen as well in the 2015 data set for the year 2006. What's happening here? What I suspect is going on is what I noted earlier. The fanfiction fandom is a book fandom. People may be Tolkien fans after seeing just the films, but they become Tolkien fanfiction writers after reading the books. The jump in interest in fanfiction a year or two after seeing the final film could represent the time the author spent reading the books and beginning to grasp the book canon and all its complexity. Other data from the survey support the idea of the films serving as a gateway to the fandom. 45% of participants in 2020 agreed that they started writing Tolkien-based fanfiction because of Jackson's films. A majority also agreed in 2015 and 2020 that the films encouraged them to write fanfiction. This influence was stronger in 2015, again showing the impact of the films at a time when the films were still in or just out of theaters. Finally, I want to talk briefly about where all this fanfiction writing is happening. One of my main areas of focus in 2015 was on the sites and archives where writers were posting their fanfiction. Looking at how authors from different sites responded differently to the survey items, I was able to pinpoint distinct fandom cultures between the sites. The graphic on the screen is one of my favorites to come out of the 2015 survey, showing how the most popular fanfiction sites differed in the values and motives that their authors identified. What is notable to me is the lack of overlap. No more than two sites occupy the same cultural niche, producing a diverse array of options for authors and readers to share fanfiction with like-minded fans. These are the pillars, the very specific fandom cultures that dot the landscape of the broader fandom. In 2020, that has begun to change. When considering the type of site where people post their stories, multi-fandom archives, Tolkien-specific archives, or social media sites, the greatest drop in participation is on the Tolkien-specific archives. This is in a large part due to the hemorrhaging of Tolkien-specific fanfiction archives in the last several years. The Fandom History Wiki FanLore lists almost 70 Tolkien-specific archives. As of this writing, there are 5 still active that I am aware of, and most of them are minimally maintained. This represents potentially a tremendous loss in terms of fandom cultures, not just as sites for collecting fan works about sometimes highly niche interests, but also where fans with similar values and approaches to interpreting the canon and writing stories about it can gather and swap stories. It remains to be seen how this loss of culture will impact the broader fandom, or if it will. Will the fans who once participated on more niche archives leave the fandom entirely? Will they adapt to the culture found on larger sites like AO3 or will they post there despite it? Will they use rising sites like Discord and Dreamwidth to recreate niche communities? Or will eventually we see the pendulum swing in the other direction and the return of more Tolkien-specific archives? The first known Tolkien fan fiction turned 60 years old last year. The vastness of the Tolkien fan fiction fandom threatens to be overwhelming. And while one small survey cannot capture all of it, not even close, I hope it has done its small part to do justice to the vastness, to the long-standing fan cultures nurtured by decades of fans, as well as the pillars, to those offbeat and sometimes zany fandom cultures that dot the fandom like cities across the map of Middle-earth, some ideal for grabbing a pint with friends, others known for their hushed and dusty libraries, but all unique and, in their small way, carrying Tolkien's legendarium forward. Thank you very much.